This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Acts the 20th chapter, verse 18 to 25. It says, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, and after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Somebody say all seasons. "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, God, for your word. We pray, God, that you will make this word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways, that we might hide your words in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. 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 Just turn to your neighbor one more time and say, "Neighbor, are you willing to cross the line?" Amen. Are you willing to cross the line? Amen. You know, when I you made me seated. Amen. When I was growing up, my mom would always have this saying periodically that when I did something really wrong and I've kind of pushed over the limit, she would say to me, "Boy, you crossed the line. You crossed the line." And there's many lines that we can cross. If you ever worked for a union, there is a picket line. And when you cross the picket line, one, you are violating kind of the code. There's no real line there, but it's really you are crossing over a line that one can endanger your life, because the word on the street is that if you cross a picket line for a union, somebody's coming after you. And there's certain lines that you don't cross. You have to realize that no matter what it is, the idea of crossing the line indicates that you're crossing into a territory, one that has unforeseen or unknown risks that may be challenging to your life. And if you know what those risks are, you know what the possibilities are, if you still go ahead and cross the line, I hope that you cross the line because it is a cause that is worth dying for. Can somebody say amen? Amen. In this Christian life, when you have decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you have decided, Brother Pierce, to say that, you know what, I want to be baptized, I want to commit my life to the Lord, what you have decided to do is to cross a line. To cross a line into a new way of life. There's a scripture in Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 24th verse. It says that if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Yes, Christianity offers the abundant life. Yes, Christianity offers you a life that is better than any life that you could have. Yes, Christianity invites you to a place where the Holy Spirit indwells in you and gives you peace that passeth all understanding. But Christianity also invites you into a state of persecution and into a state where you will be ridiculed, talked about, and yes, possibly even killed for the cause of Christ. When you decide to follow Jesus, you have to understand that there is a cross to bear. There's an old song that says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. In our text in Acts the 20th chapter, and we deal with 18 to verse 25, Paul is at the end of his third missionary journey, And the goal here at the end of this third missionary journey, he is returning to Jerusalem because the Feast of Pentecost is about to occur. Now, we know that the Feast of Pentecost was a feast that all the Jews had came together, and Paul was going to Jerusalem, one for the Feast of Pentecost, but also was to keep his commitment to the poor that was at Jerusalem. We talked about the day when we extended the right hand of fellowship. We talked about that scripture in Galatians where Paul went and Barnabas went before James and the elders of the church, and they made a commitment that they would what? Do two things. What are those two things? Now, I only say this every Sunday. Let's try this again. What we come to do? Share the gospel, help the poor. Those are the two commitments that he had made. And in that commitment, he was coming back and going back to Jerusalem to provide a report. But here in Acts 20, he is in Ephesus. Acts 21, where he actually makes the report to James and them, he states that there was a report made, but the actual report is made in chapter 20. And that's what we are in. We are in the middle of the report that Paul is giving to the elders at Ephesus on what he had done during the ministry. As we go through this message today, we are going to deal with four different things that we can expect when we cross the line. When we cross the line, we decide that, you know what, yeah, we want to make Jesus our choice. We want to live a life of salvation. Yes, there are some benefits to it, but there's also some responsibilities that come into play. You know, a lot of people, they want to come to Jesus for all the stuff that he has to offer. Yes, Jesus is a healer. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer. Yes, Jesus is a burden bearer. Yes, Jesus can do all of those things, but there's also responsibility and commitment that comes into play when you have decided to make Jesus Lord of your life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There's four things that are required when you decide to cross the line for the cause of Christ. The first one is dedication and commitment. Dedication and commitment. That is required of you if you decide that you want to cross this line and decide to come into the life of the kingdom of God. It takes dedication and it takes commitment. Well, where does this come from? Let's look in our text here. It says, and when they were come to him, this is verse 18, when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, and after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Somebody say all seasons. All seasons. What Paul is saying here is that no matter what the situation was, no matter how bad it got, how mean people were, I stayed with the work of the kingdom. And what this is saying to us is that there is no excuse for you to decide, well, you know what, I want to serve Jesus this week. I don't want to do that church thing. I don't want to go out and share the gospel. I don't want to help nobody this week because life has dealt me a bad hand this week. And we have other people on the other side of the coin that the only time that they come to Jesus is when things are going wrong in their life. But as soon as things start to do all right, they think that it's okay to stop serving Jesus. But Paul is saying is that I served him in all seasons, that when life was up, I was there. When life was down, I was there. When things were just going all right, wasn't any hoopla, but I was there. I was serving God in all seasons. And you have to understand that if you want to cross this line, if you want to live a life of Christ, you have to understand it requires both commitment and it requires dedication. That I'm going to serve the Lord in good days. I'm going to serve him in bad days. I'm going to serve him when things aren't going right. I'm going to serve him even when things are going real good, just because I love Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Somebody say commitment, commitment and dedication. There's four things you have to understand that it requires you, and if you want to cross this line and make a commitment to give your life to Jesus. The second one is work. Work for the kingdom. Somebody say work. I know that's a four-letter word to some people, but work. Work. Work is required of you in the kingdom. You know, many times I'm out evangelizing and I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ out in the streets, and I'll ask somebody, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? And they said, well, I go to church. I said, I really didn't ask you that. I said, are you saved? Are you a believer? Have you given your life to the Lord? Well, my parents are preaching. Well, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And what I'm saying is that not only did you come and did you were baptized and you joined the church, you did this stuff, but are you working and doing the work of the kingdom? You know, I do a lot of funerals. I do a lot of funerals, and I often read the obituaries. And I go down to obituaries. It says, Sarah Mae Johnson, born December 15th, 1954. Worked here, educated here, joined this church, died. And I'm trying to figure out from the time that they joined church and to the point they died, what did they do? You have to understand that it takes more than just coming to church. It takes more than saying, well, I want to be baptized. It takes more than just coming to Bible study. It takes work and dedication and selling yourself out for God to the point where every day you're thinking, how can you do something else for Jesus? How can I share the gospel with Jesus with somebody else? How can I help somebody else along the way? It requires work. Somebody say work. Work, work. You have to work. You have to do something, not just sit around and be a bench warmer. We got plenty of bench warmers. We need people that are willing to get up and work and do something for the kingdom of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Acts 20th chapter, verse 19 to 21. Now, this is Paul. Paul is coming back here now with this report that we talked about. Coming back with a report from Ephesus, verse 19, it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 35, it says, I showed you all things, how so laboring that you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of Jesus and how he says it is more blessed to give and receive. This is Paul's report, but let me ask you a question. If you died today and we printed out your obituary, what would your obituary say? What would be an example, your report to the world of what you did for the cause of Christ? Would it be empty or would it be full? Would you have accomplished anything to help people? Would you have accomplished anything to share the gospel with somebody else? And a lot of times we live our lives by saying, it's good enough just to come to church and then I'm going to do my rest of my stuff during the week. But what are you doing for God every day of your life? You ought to make a commitment to work and to serve God. Can somebody say amen? There's four things that we're talking about are required that when you decide to cross this line. One, dedication to commitment. Two, that four-letter word called work. The third thing is found in the 22nd through the 24th verse. It says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions abide me. That means they are waiting for me. But none of these things move me, and I count neither I count my life dear to myself. Look at that verse 24. But none of these things move me. The third thing that is required when you decide to cross this line, you can't let anything deter you. You can't let anything deter you from fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life. You have to understand that Paul was headed back to Jerusalem. It was already told to him that when you get there, you're going to be in prison, that you're going to be tormented, and it could even possibly mean your death. He was already told that this was going to happen, but still Paul was willing to still go to Jerusalem. Let's look at a couple verses. Chapter 20, verse 23. the Holy Ghost in every city, saying, the bonds and the afflictions are waiting for me there. This is Paul saying this. Chapter 21, verse 4. Paul's disciples said to him, Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go to Jerusalem. Look at verse 20, chapter 21, verse 10 to 13. It says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound up his own hands and feet and says, thus say the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth his girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they that were at that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have to understand, when you have decided to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we might not get people to join church today, but there's a line here. And when you decide to cross that line and decide to follow Jesus, what you're saying is that I'm willing to take on the sufferings of Jesus Christ for the cause of Christ, and even to the point of death, I will serve him. You know, there's an old story. I love this story. There was a bunch of Russian soldiers that came into a church one day, and they had machine guns. There were seven of them. They pulled out machine guns, and they put it in front of the congregation. And they say, listen, if anybody decides that they want to say that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life, I'm going to kill every last one of you. And so, of course, the preacher, he was the first one out the door. The deacons were quickly behind. The choir members saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and headed right out the door. But there were seven old women that were left in the church. And the Russian soldier says, do you still want to confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? They said, we will never give up Jesus. They said, do you understand that you are about to die? They said, yes, we do, but we're going to serve Jesus until death. The Russian soldiers put down their machine guns and said, now we can have church because all the phony behind church Christians have left. If you are going to serve Jesus, you have to serve him with everything that you got and be willing to lose your life for him if it comes down to it. That's what real Christianity is giving your life. When we baptize, you're saying you're taking on the death, burial, and resurrection. Part of his death involves suffering. Part of his death involved whipping. Part of his death involved putting a crown of thorns upon his head. But he was willing to do it for us. Are you willing to do it for him? This is Christianity. Are you willing to cross this line that says, I'm going to suffer? Now, I'm looking at this text and I see what Paul was going through. Paul was going to Jerusalem and he got all these warnings by way of the Holy Spirit that said, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound up. You're going to be tied up. You're going to be in prison, and it could possibly mean your death. And Paul says, I'm not willing to only be bound, but I'm willing to die. It doesn't make sense. Paul, you're being told by the Holy Spirit that you're going to be in prison. You're going to possibly die. Why are you still going to Jerusalem? Let's get to the next part of the text. Acts 20, verse 24, the second part of that. So I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He understood that he had a purpose, that no matter what it took, no matter what happened, he was committed to fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has for his life. You know why a lot of people don't fulfill the plan and purpose that God has for them? Because they're scared. I need to interpret that because some of y'all don't understand the language. They are scared. Okay, they are afraid to carry out what God has for them because they are afraid of the risk involved. You have to be willing to sell yourself out to God that it doesn't matter anymore. That no matter what happens to me, I am going out serving Jesus. We're not going to have a lot of people come today, but you have to understand, are you willing to cross the line? Are you willing to cross the line? This doesn't make sense. Well, you remember Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a cup that came by him. There was a cup. And inside the cup was the wrath of God, that all the punishment that was going to be placed upon him in our place. And Jesus says, if it's possible, I see what's in this cup. I see the difficulty. I see the torment that is headed for me at the cross. If it's possible, let this cup pass. But then he interrupts his own sentence and he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The fourth thing you have to understand, if you're willing to cross the line, you have to say that I'm going to do God's will. You have to get in your mind that no matter what the logical response to life is in circumstances, you have to say that I'm going to do God's will. I don't care what comes, what may, whether I have to lay down my life, whether I have to give up everything, I'm going to do God's will. Now, after Paul's disciples had warned him, if you look in the 21st chapter and the 14th verse of that 21st chapter, after they had warned him, and Paul says, I'm willing not only to be bound, but I'm willing to die, he said that the disciple says one very powerful statement, the Lord's will be done. And you have to understand that if you really want things to happen in your life, if you want to move ahead in the work of the kingdom, you have to let God's will be done in your life. You got to let his will be done. I know his will isn't always comfortable. It's always not convenient, but it's his will. And if it's his will, he can see a lot further than you and I. You know, in 1977, my mother died. My mother died. I was living in Tasker Projects, small little boy in Tasker Projects. I had a brother that was mentally disabled, and I was in Tasker Projects. My father I never met, but my mother died. And I said, God, why did you allow this to happen? It didn't seem like it was the appropriate thing to do, but it was his will. And in that will, because of that event in my life, God has made me who I am. And you have to understand, I know that you don't understand God's will right now, but if you let his will reign in your life, I am convinced, as in Romans 8th chapter, it says, for all things work together for the good of them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Somebody say, God, have your will. Have your will in my life. You know, we're going to close. There is a wonderful speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King. It was on April the 3rd, 1968. April 3rd, 1968. And the speech ends like this. It says, well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to have long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. He has allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. If I was Martin Luther King, I'd say, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. That was April 3rd, 1968. If you remember, it was on April 4th, 1968, at the hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, when he was about to go with the trash workers and the sanitation workers of Memphis, that he was shot on that hotel balcony. You have to understand that when you condition your mind that you want to sell out for God and say, God, let your will be done, it might not be popular, it might not be to your natural advantage, but I want to let you know, if you sell out for God and willing to cross the line and let his will be done in your life, everything will be all right. Whether if I live, if I die, it's okay, because I'm doing God's will. You know, a lot of people challenge me because of the fact that I'm going to all these third world countries now, and I've been to Guyana, and I'm headed to Kingston next week. And they say, don't you hear about the violence in Kingston? Then I'm going to Zimbabwe. They say their economy's out of whack, the government's corrupt. Don't you know that you can get killed over there? Don't you know I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ? And until you get to that point, you have not become free. You haven't got free to the point where you have got to the point where you're willing to cross the line, where you're willing to die for the cause of Christ. Are you willing to cross the line. Crossing the line takes commitment. It takes dedication. It takes work. It takes not allowing people to deter you. And it takes you accepting God's will. Somebody put your hands together and praise God for his word today. I know this is a very difficult and challenging word. Seems like, well, God, you're just kind of unfair. You know, it's not about you. It's about the kingdom. He died for you. But in dying for you, he wanted you to make a commitment that you'll be part of the kingdom. And part of the kingdom is just following in line for his will. And by you making a commitment to say that I'm going to sell myself all out for Christ, it might seem difficult in your life, but the difficulty in your life may be the blessing for somebody else to come to Jesus. This morning, with everyone standing on their feet, I want to challenge you. I'm going to leave this tape up here because it represents a line that you're willing to cross. And if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to be saved, just come on up here and cross the line.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.